Welcome to the Daily Wrap Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
So for those that think you just experienced a glitch, you did not. I apparently just got shut down. The stream just completely dropped out, and I've discovered a way around that. If I simply just discontinue and start over really quickly, we seem to circumvent that entire shutdown process, despite the fact that I can't do that if the show's halfway through. So let's try that again. Let's start over and point out the fact that this show is entirely about the two-party deception and their ability to distract you with any number of things, and how they will continue to do so as often as possible and in every single way that they can, keep you looking at things that are not important, or rather things that are less relevant than what's really going on behind the scenes. And they will continue to do this in every single opportunity they can. Things like we're talking about today in regard to this New York Times anonymous article, or the Kavanaugh Supreme Court appointment, and these different things that have their relevance. Discuss something like the New York Times anonymous post as, you know, the coup going on inside the Trump administration, which is not necessarily untrue, but it's something that is designed by its very nature to divide us among party lines and to keep us falling back into line in the real deception going on. As we pointed out on the show more times than I can count, the effort to continue to fold people back into the deception that are beginning to wake up. We see things like QAnon, and we see things like Russiagate that have literally pulled people from either side of the extremes back into the loving arms of the state. The loving arms of the state. On either side, you got one side demonizing Russia, calling for the real resistance to rise up and trust the real people behind the scenes. Then you've got QAnon on the other side saying, trust the plan. Trust Donald Trump because he's the real hero. Both of them literally asking you to trust the government. Think about that. And as we just saw this stream get shut down momentarily, and we come right back, let's get right back into it with the first article, which is a perfect example of this. Another great article coming from Caitlin Johnstone, entitled simply, "We Are Being Played." A perfect way to put that. And as this is not something that we would usually touch on this show, something about a New York Times article in general, or something that I do genuinely think is a distraction, something being used to manipulate us, it's important to point this out because it's getting so much attention and because it is such a perfect example of how these things are being used. And as the way she points out in this article, which I'll get to in just a second, is simply the reverse of what we're seeing with QAnon. Another PSYOP with basically the white hats and the black hats flipped. And it's essentially the same exact thing, saying, trust us, we've got people in places and things are happening. Just sit back and let us take care of it. It's what they want you to think. Another excellent article by Caitlin Johnstone. I recommend you check out her work. She does a really fantastic job of pinpointing the focal point of all of this. Now, as Caitlin points out, the op-ed says essentially nothing other than to tell readers just to relax and trust in anonymous administration insiders who are working against the bad guys on behalf of the people, which is, interestingly, the exact same message of the 8chan PSYOP phenomenon QAnon. Just like I said, with the white hats and black hats reversed. What are the results of this viral op-ed that everyone's currently consumed with? So far, it's a bunch of Democratic partisans making a lot of excited whooping noises, as she says, and Trump loyalists feeling completely vindicated in the belief that their theories have been proven correct, which is an important point to recognize. That for whatever reason, this very story seems to reinforce both sides of the problem. Interesting how that works. And many rank and file Trump haters are feeling a little more relaxed and complacent, knowing that there's a bunch of McCain-loving adults in the room taking care of everything. And many rank and file Trump supporters are more convinced than ever that Donald Trump is a brave populist hero leading a covert 40 chess insurgency against the deep state. In other words, everyone's been herded into their respective partisan stables and trusting the narratives that they're being fed there within. If you can separate the masses into two groups based on extremely broad ideological characteristics, you can funnel them streamlined us versus them narratives into each of the two stables, with the white hats and black hats reversed in each case. Now you've got Republicans cheering for the president and Democrats cheering for the CIA and the FBI, and now for a platoon of covert John McCains alleged to be operating on the inside of Trump's own administration. Everyone's cheering for one aspect of the U.S. power establishment or another. She really puts that very eloquently. It's important to recognize what she's saying, that they, regardless of how different they think they are, they're both ultimately calling for more control of the government, or control of us by the government. And the real question we should be asking in general is why, first of all, anybody would be trusting anything coming from these mainstream outlets. I could point out about 25 different examples of the past year that even the New York Times and these all these mainstream outlets have quoted anonymous sources that turned out to be false. Yet people are just falling over themselves to trust this or wringing their hands about how this is something dangerous. We have to understand that for all we know, this could be completely false. We know the New York Times is completely controlled. These propaganda outlets are shown to be completely controlled. And this could be a complete fabrication just to carry out what she's talking about, to divide people and corral us right back into the control where they can funnel us versus them, narratives, propaganda. As a result of the New York Times op-ed, if this administration engages in yet another of its many, many establishment capitulations, like she says, say, like, attacking the Syrian government again, like we've been talking about day after day, Trump supporters won't see it as his fault. It'll be blamed on the deep state insiders and his administration who have been working to thwart his agenda of peace and harmony. Meanwhile, those who see Trump as a heel won't experience any cognitive dissonance if any of the establishment agendas they support are carried out, because they can give the credit to the secret hero squad in the White House. The real takeaway for me here, as you can see from my picture on this video today, is we have now a New York Times anon on one side and a Q anon on the other. Very interesting how these things tend to be very, very similar, even in regard to Russiagate and this. We're looking at something that is based on a lot of fabrication, a lot of conjecture and speculation, asserted as fact, basically driving you back into the arms of the state. We have to be able to see this. And as I said, this is not something that I tend to cover, but this one was important to drive this point home, that we cannot say, we have to be able to see how this is driving people back into that. Just like the 2016 election, many people that I supported and respected, libertarians, anarchists even, all of a sudden were screaming for Donald Trump and more control of the government because he was the hero, apparently. He's different. He's fighting the deep state, until we realize that he's not. Moving on to the next story coming from ZeroHedge.com. Another very interesting story, a follow-up story of what we talked about yesterday, was actually shared with me by a comment. I wish I remembered the person's name. I appreciate any of you that reach out with information, because this one I'd missed this one in the feeds, and this is an important article to cover. Coming from ZeroHedge, entitled "Israel's Military Censor Removed News Report Detailing IDF Support to Anti-Assad Fighters." Now, we were aware of this. We covered this story. But the reason this story is important is because it's an admission from the Jerusalem Post that they did indeed censor it. And not that they censored it that alone, but that they were told to censor it, which makes this a very important story and also relates to things that we're going to get into in just a moment. Now, the Jerusalem Post has in fact confirmed it was told to remove a story on Israel providing weapons and supplies to anti-Assad factions fighting in Syria, otherwise known as terrorist extremists, U.S.-backed, Israel-backed extremists, by the Israeli army's military censor. They were told to do so. In a written statement to RT News, the Jerusalem Post said, quote, "We were told by the army's military censor to remove that part of the story," end quote. Point blank. Now, it's been a long time. It's been a long, known. I would say within our circles, with what we've shown, that I could say we know this. We've verified this via facts, that Israel has assisted armed groups seeking to topple the Syrian government. U.S. support, Saudi Arabia support, and many different support of the people that back their agenda. Extremists used to topple the Syrian government under the guise, a lot of times, of fighting ISIS, fighting Al-Qaeda, the very groups that they're supporting, especially those operating in Syria's south along the Golan Heights in regard to Israel throughout the past years of this war, because we know we've even shown them giving medical attention, giving them weekly, monthly siphons to go spend and use to buy whatever they want to buy. Very verified information. But the report was entitled IDF Confirms Israel Provided Light Weapons to Syrian Rebels, is actually the first time the IDF publicly acknowledged this program, which involved the transfer of significant amounts of cash, weapons, and ammunition to militants operating near the border with Israel. The bombshell report was removed from the Jerusalem Post website only hours after it came up. And as I pointed out the other day, yes, weapons and ammunition are very important, but we have to realize that the money they're giving them could be used to buy any number of things, including, say, chemical weapons. It's important to recognize that. Now, up until yesterday, this could have still been accessed via Google Cache, which was one that was reported in this article. But lucky for all of you, the link that was sent to me by Brian Richman is still saved on and is in the show notes this moment. Interestingly, somehow the Google Cache version just disappeared. I wonder if Google has anything to do with that. But luckily enough, on an archive different website, that is saved that you can look at in the show notes of this video. So despite them trying to throw this down the memory hole and pretend like it never happened, we have an archived version of the article that point blank says, IDF confirms Israel provided weapons to Syrian rebels or terrorists. The now censored article explicitly negates prior claims by the IDF that it had not intervened in the war in Syria, and further confirmed that prior charges made by President Assad that the Syrian army had routinely recovered weapons and supplies with Hebrew inscriptions from insurgent positions were in reality accurate, even though widely dismissed at the time in international media. Another perfect example of how the media rejects different notions such as this and calls people conspiracy theorists until they're later proven, just like we're seeing now. And not only do we see them with Hebrew inscriptions, but like our following story we're going to look at, we see plenty more than I can count with U.S.-made stamps. The next story coming from South Front, another very, very revealing article, which is something, again, that we all generally know on this show, most likely, but yet again, a good example of how this is really taking place, entitled Government Forces Discover More U.S.-Supplied Weapons in Southern Al-Kintira in Syria. Yet again, for the umpteenth time, we found weapons, as you can see right there in the article, USA, right there on the picture. Yet again. And I mean, this is nothing new. We've talked about this more times than I can count, but it is continually denied, flat out, that this is even taking place. And we have to understand that the people that these are being found, where they're being found, were extremists. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, the people, al-Nusra Front, the very terrorists that they pretend to be fighting. Now, whether or not this was handed to them, which I likely think that's the case, or they were just taken, either way, we can show on one side that the U.S. is complicit and working with these groups, which, again, I think is very clearly the case, or what they're doing is not working, has not worked for a very long time. And yet, people continue to support their efforts to violently overthrow governments for liberation. Just recognize that. So on September 5th, the Syrian Arab Army, the SSA, uncovered several weapons caches which had been left behind by militants, like I just mentioned, during a search operation in the southern Al-Kintira countryside, according to the Syrian Arab News Agency. The weapons caches included several rounds of U.S.-made SMAW shoulder-launched rocket weapons, one U.S.-supplied anti-tank guided missile, one launcher of Chinese-made HJ-73C ATGM, and a 107mm rocket launcher, two SPG-9 73mm recoilless guns, dozens of light machine guns, and several night vision binoculars. Really just keyed out, setting them up with everything they need to take down whatever they want to take down. Interesting to see this, all by the courtesy of the U.S. government. The SSA also found several pieces of medical equipment of the Western-backed White Helmet Organization. Interesting how that seems to be the case. We have to see this for what it is. And it of course, always in relation to what's going on in Idlib right this moment. Funded, created, supported, protected extremists by the U.S. government, by the Israeli government in Syria to overthrow the democratically elected sovereign government of Syria. We have to see this. I can't continue to put forward so much evidence, easily verifiable as well, with people continue to disregard it. It blows me away. But people see what they want to see. As always, look into this for yourself, the links I provide, and do your own due diligence, and you'll come to see the reality of the situation. Moving on to the next story, getting to some domestic news. This one is very important, something that we covered quite a bit of during the Dakota Access Pipeline story, is now taking place yet again in Louisiana. But this one is a little different, because these people have the right to be there, and they're still being violently arrested. This one entitled Forcible Arrest of Water Protectors at Illegal Pipeline Construction Site in Louisiana. This kind of a story continues to show us the reality of the current administration, even, and this government, and what it really places its protection around, and what's really important to them, especially recognizing that our water infrastructure in this country is completely falling apart as we find chemicals and toxins and metals. Very dangerous. We just saw an entire school district get shut down for lead in this pipe. And what we're talking about is continually endangering our water supply instead of finding ways to fix the problem. So four water protectors were brutally arrested in the Atchafalaya Basin, I think that's how it's pronounced, along the Bayou Bridge pipeline route in Louisiana on Tuesday. Water protectors have been attempting to halt Energy Transfer Partners' illegal construction of the pipeline. Now, if that name sounds familiar, that's because they're the very same security group that was working with the Dakota Access Pipeline. And all of the horrifying, very just overzealous, violent actions they took on peaceful protesters, from sicking dogs on them to using water cannons in the middle of the freezing night, everything they can do to hurt these people. And yes, this is the very same group. Energy Transfer Pipelines, as we said, is the same group responsible for the Dakota Access Pipeline, which was met with significant resistance from the local indigenous population in North Dakota, as well as from their allies from across the country. ETP and its hired security frequently engage in violent tactics against peaceful water protectors. And they did so routinely during the Standing Rock Reservation in North Dakota, during their revolt against the Dakota Access Pipeline. With the help, of course, of both local police and police from surrounding areas, showing you again where they really, really put their support. And it's not with the people. Now, if completed, the Bayou Bridge Pipeline, the BBP, will connect with the Dakota Access Pipeline system, which, by the way, has already had many leaks. We pointed this out right away. But of course, they just disregard that as, oh, that's what happened. That's part of the thing. But that's why they didn't want it to be built, because it would leak into their water supply. The BBP is slated to transport crude oil originating from the Bakken oil fields of North Dakota. The pipeline is to run 162 miles from southeast Texas to St. James, Louisiana. The oil transport, of course, would enter into international markets. Interesting. America first, all over the place. Water protectors were granted written permission, which is the important part, by the landowner to be present at the site. They got written permission by the landowner themselves to be present. But of course, this has not stopped the St. Martin Parish sheriffs from engaging in physical altercations with the protectors, while attempting to drive them from the private land. Water protectors say the local parish sheriffs are being used, just like they were in Dakota Access Pipeline, as private security for the pipeline company. ETP has yet to gain any permission for construction from the landowner and does not have the proper easement. Despite this, despite having not the legal ground to do it, the company has continued construction nonetheless. Interesting how they can break the law without batting an eye and nothing happens, but these people pose a peaceful protest to stop an illegal action, they get beaten down and arrested by the police. Protect and serve. According to a press release regarding Tuesday's incident, quote, water protectors contend that there is no easement agreement between ETP and the landowner, Theta Wright, rendering all construction on Wright's land illegal. They demand that ETP cease illegal construction of the pipeline and the attacks on water protectors, create and implement an effective evacuation route for those directly affected by their pipeline, and release those arrested today. Water protectors will remain on Wright's property indefinitely. This week's arrests come on the heels of the August 20 arrests of three water protectors and one journalist covering the situation. They were charged, of course, with felony interference with critical infrastructure, a charge that carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison. Now, understand, this is how these recent laws, semi-recent laws, have been applied to this situation. that apply kind of broadly to protesting as well, but specifically to these pipelines, now naming them critical infrastructure, which is just a simple way of making it. It's another thing like national security. It's a way of just broadly sweeping, making anything involved with these a federal crime, even though these people are currently breaking the law. Police use tasers on water protectors in addition to denying them food, water, and needed medical attention. Yet these people are the ones being deemed criminals. Not the corporations, not the government supporting them, not the police mindlessly going along with the plan, but these peaceful protesters trying to stop an illegal action. Land of the free. We need to recognize the reality of these kind of situations and We need to see what's actually taking place right in front of us and what these people really find important. And as I continue to point out, it's not us. It's not Americans. It's corporations. It's money. It's control. For the final story of the day, to kind of emphasize that very same point, but abroad, from Telesur.com, it's another interesting story. And of course, remember that Telesur is the very station or very site, and everything they have to do with news was shut down because of the sanctions put on Venezuela. Abby Martin's entire show being a major part of that, showing you yet again how far-reaching these sanctions are, and they affect the average people and not the government, which is entirely the point. This article entitled U.S. Forces Anti-Nicaragua Agenda on U.N. Security Council. Now, we've discussed Nicaragua multiple times since the beginning of this entire situation there, and that they're ultimately the aggressive, violent coup attempt that took place that they fought off, but how Mike Pence, Nikki Haley have actively spoken out about places like Nicaragua and Venezuela, and that they seek regime change as if they have any legal standing to do so under the guise that it poses a national security threat, as always, which we know is not the case, which people spoke out about in this Security Council meeting. So on Tuesday, China, Russia, Bolivia, and Ethiopia rejected the U.S. proposal to include Nicaragua and Venezuela, of course, on the council agenda, saying the two Latin American countries pose no international security threat and that doing so could jeopardize peace efforts. Always interesting to see who's on the side of peace and who's on the side of aggression and war and regime change. Yet the U.N. Security Council meeting will move forward with a controversial decision to discuss Nicaragua and Venezuela, even without the consensus of all 14 members, simply because the United States is strong-arming the Security Council into discussing Nicaragua and Venezuela despite the overwhelming lack of consensus. Yet again, showing us their complete control over the United Nations and how they're really just a toothless tiger being used as to placate people into thinking actions being taken, when we can see that Israel and the United States have kind of just broad sweeping power with a simple veto vote in regard to these votes that or these motions people put forward by one. So every single person can be on the same page, but because a United States or Israel decides to say no, things don't happen. It shows you a complete control measure in place here. Now, Washington's ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, of course, said the U.S. position on Nicaragua should remain on the records. Of course. Because her efforts seem to always coincide with the corporatist, Zionist-backed efforts of the real power structure here. Now, Bolivia is expected to try to block the meeting on Wednesday, but officials told Reuters the 9 necessary votes to veto the agenda item have yet to be secured. Of course, that being said, if it was just the United States, they could just single veto it. That's how this thing works. Interesting how that takes place. We have to begin to see this from top to bottom. Foreign policy, Nicaragua, South America, regime change, or domestic policy in Louisiana, pipelines, arresting innocent people, to the about to be carried out false flag in Syria, and just the illegal occupation of foreign countries by these governments. These are all things that are very, very important to domestic and foreign policy. And almost more importantly, how Americans are perceived to the rest of the world as warmongers, as imperialists. We have to see this, and this is important for us to speak out about, because I don't agree with this, which is why I speak out about it, but you need to do the same. And we need to recognize that all of this stuff with Kavanaugh and with the New York Times op-ed and the coup taking place in the government are designed to draw you back in, to manipulate, to distract. As we can see very clearly with all the things taking place here, that whether Trump is aware of it or not, he himself and his administration are very much a part of the problem. Of course, some people will say, oh, well, that's the deep state manipulating it. Didn't you just read the QAnon or the, excuse me, the New York Times Anon report? They're behind the scenes manipulating things. But that doesn't explain Trump's very words about Israel, about Syria, about Iran, about all the same things that have been going on for decades. He is part of the plan. What we have to recognize more than anything is what's taking place here and around the world is the opposite of America First. And really just the same old neo-colonial U.S. agenda. And it's really meant, all of this is meant to distract you from that very thing. Thank you for tuning in yet again. Stay tuned directly following this show. A few moments later, we will begin TLAV Research and Review, where we discuss this and much more for the next couple of hours. Make sure you check out the independent sources in the show notes below and all the things I referenced for yourselves. Always do your own research, your own due diligence. And as always, question everything, including me. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.